I also have an unlimited supply of lateral flow tests, so I can test you all when you come in.
Well, let me have a beer first, for fuck's sake.
You laugh, but because I'm bubbled with my parents and my dad's vulnerable, I had friends round for drinks last Saturday, and so when they all arrived, I made them all do a test.
Because that's fun.
Well, it's just safety, isn't it?
You it's going to be absolutely mental tonight, but before we ensue the chaos, please, can I just have a quick little lick of your saliva? It'll be 2 seconds. I'll just put it in this swab, wipe it around a bit, and we'll just see if you are diseased, horrible, little disgusting mite or not, and you can be entered to my house.
Some people find it appropriate to just ask people to take their shoes off.
I imagine Fry's a shoes off at a doorman.
No, I'm not.
Just pants off the door.
Listening to WCSP and entering the love zone. My name is Dan, but you can call me Golden Erotic Pump. As tonight, we're all about that really sexy music. I'm gonna stop doing that now. As you might have guessed, tonight is all about bedroom jams, and this is the Cacophony Sessions. What makes our senses tingle? What causes us to reach for the dimmer switch and the scented candles? We're about to find out. As always, I'm not alone in tonight's endeavour. And my three songs that I've picked for you tonight will be discussed, as well as three songs from each of the usual suspects. So it's one liner time, please, Tom.
Can we come up with porn names for ourselves instead of Tom and Al and all that stuff?
How about no?
Oh, go on, Tom. Give yourself a porn name.
Well, I think your name would be Big Sexy.
Nah, my porn name's Womb Beater.
Tonight's going to be a good episode, guys.
I think it might not be.
Tonight will be the least you've ever heard me speak on the podcast. Was I supposed to do a one-liner? Was
yes,
I?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I was going to go with, I suppose doing things you hate is just the price you pay to avoid loneliness.
That's deep, man.
Dave?
Ask not what the pussy can do for you. Ask what you can do for the pussy.
Martin?
Hi, I'm Martin. And did you fall from heaven? Because it looked like you fell on your face.
And Alex.
Are you Australian? Because you meet all of my koalifications.
Oh, no. Oh. Wow, it's not a good start.
It's chaos already.
How's Baphomet doing? I need Baphomet news. Is he still elusive?
Before we find out what's happening with Baphomet, we've got to find out what's happening with Martin's gilet. Because Martin's wearing, I know this is an audio podcast, but he's wearing what looks like a biker jacket over a t-shirt. But it's clearly a tailored, not quite leather.
I prefer to it as Dennis the Menace's flak jacket.
Yes.
Or the Sons of Matalanaki.
It looks like a bulletproof vest.
What have you been doing, Martin?
Well, I did go down to Matalan and I bought myself a rather swanky new body warmer footwear.
Sporting the latest spring-summer line from the Matalan catalogue, Martin maintains his masculine physique while still maintaining a soft feminine edge.
Well, I was going for like... I thought, well, my name's Martin, you know, Marty McFly. I thought, well, I'd go for Marty McCry.
You look like Alan Partridge going to a summer funeral.
No, I've been okay, man. Like, you know.
Until now.
Baphomet remains elusive. Still. No, man. Like, I've been cycling around. I've been doing stuff and I've been working on
this
lot.
Can't devolve into us becoming caricatures of ourselves. This can't be the way it goes forward.
I'm pretty sure that's what this podcast is based on.
it once upon a time was perpetuated by a few intellectually minded individuals. It now seems to be predominantly a sort of Sylvanian family's reenactment of some twats that like music.
Well, that's just what lockdown does to us, though. Al, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I've watched about 6 seasons of Shameless since we last talked, and just working and doing painting way too much Warhammer, because I'm awesome like that. I listened to the new Static X album today, because I'm not even that big a fan of them. I just know they've got a new album since their Wayne Static, the singer, died about 5 years ago, and I was like, oh, you got a new guy.
Oh, yeah.
Had to shape his coffin, like, to fit his hair in?
Maybe. I mean, I wasn't at the funeral. I had to turn it down, but I assume yes. But yeah, the new guy sounds exactly the same. So I actually watched a music video for the music video, like, they've got a new guy, but the song they chose happened to have his vocals on from a previous recording. So in the music video, they've got a new guy, and they've essentially just superimposed a TV screen with the original singer singing the songs. I'm like, well, that doesn't do much justice to the new guy.
All I can hope is the rest of the band were the enablers, as far as the drug overdose was concerned, for Wayne, and the new singer will quickly go on.
I have no idea what what they do, what their internal interactions are, but apparently he didn't die from illegal drugs as well. Yeah, well, it would be illegal here, but prescription drugs in America, yeah, isn't it? Yeah, it's like, oh, I've got a headache, best take some heroin.
Yeah. There's a lot of US artists that have died on legal drugs because, you know, Big Pharma and all that shit.
But yeah, that's what I've really done musically. I've just listened to much new stuff, to be honest. I've just been going through my usual, you know, the usual bands I like. I listened to a lot of Coheed and Cambria. I listened to a lot of Dillinger Escape Plan, actually. I went through. I'm just going back through a lot of old bands, which I loved back in the day, over-listened to, stopped listening for a year or two, and now I'm coming back. But that's it, really. I haven't listened to any real new music this year, which is kind of terrible considering I'm on a music podcast.
We will be doing an album of the year next year, so you're going to have to catch up at some point now.
All I need to do is pick at least 5 albums, I'm fine.
Now, he'll pick a couple of albums at the last minute, and then when you rate them a 2, we'll kick off.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Well, as far as been looking into the future, Dave, what have you been doing?
I was saying earlier, I've bought a couple of records this week because, you know, I love the records. I have Dale the Funky Homo Sapiens first album, which was quite nice, on first press. And there's a new Madlib MF Doom picture disc I picked up. And on first 45 release, because they never did them originally, is Pete Rock, Sales Moves, Troy, and Mob Deep's Shook Ones. So I picked those up, and apart from that, I've just been working like a motherfucker.
Have you given them a listen, or are you keeping them in mint condition?
No, I've spun them all. Like, I don't need to spin the 45s, I've got them on 12s, but the new Madlib MF Doom album was... Madlib's actually released an album this year, has said he's going to be releasing an album every year for the next 15 years, which is some fucking mad shit he said on Six Music the other day. But obviously MF Doom passed away last year, and he had some past recordings that's what's released on that picture list. Madlib has an entirely huge back catalogue of projects in kind of a, you know, Prince Bowie-esque style of back catalogues, which he's now planning on releasing for the next 10 or 15 years' time, which I will dip in and out of because I unfortunately have the collector's bug, and if someone releases something I like and they say they're going to release something for the next 10 years, that just locks me in on some kind of horrendous purchasing loop that I can't get out of.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
That was the end of the catalogue of MF Doom, so... I'll pick that one up, and I'll see how Madlib takes me. I like his production work, but I don't know if I want to lock in for the next 15 years.
They were collaboratively known as Mad Villain, weren't they?
Yeah, they're conjunctive work, whereas this particular project wasn't. I don't know why. I would imagine he had some leftover vocals for him, and without his consent he couldn't release a project under his conjunctive name. I don't really know how it works, but yeah, it wasn't released under that title. It was just released under Madlib and MF Doom. So maybe it's some leftover vocal tracks he's had. He's made a couple of mixes out of it.
That's cool. Tom, what have you been doing?
Speaking of horrendous collector's bugs, I've recently realised that 65 Days of Static last year did this thing where you pay monthly and they released an EP every month. They're doing the same this year, so I need to catch up on that. It's quite good, actually, because some of the EPs they released in the last batch were absolutely amazing, and it's a couple of quid a month, and they're just releasing loads of... it's electronica, but with a bit of a... but made by rock musicians, and exactly as that would sound, but it's really good. I gave this a spin. I'm holding up the new Godspeed You Black Emperor album on vinyl, of course, because you have to. And then I'm carrying on with my at least five new albums a week. Like this week alone, there's been some really interesting stuff. One of the best, another really good band name released an album, and the band is called Suffocate for Fuck's Sake, which I thought was quite a good band name, and it's a decent album.
That's a good band name.
There's a great hardcore band back in the day called Shit in a Bag and Punch It, which was
the best band name I've heard in a long time. I'll tell you guys, have you heard of the deathcore band Infant Annihilator?
No.
Like, I got really into them because the drummer's insane, but that's no. But their previous band, best band name ever, Mr. Sister Fister.
Book them with Party Cannon, and you got yourself a lineup.
Oh, that's class, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, but there's been some other great albums this week. Like Joystick released a great sort of ska punk album.
Yeah, you've been on it big time. You're the one that recommended it to everything to everyone. You're like the conduit of new stuff, which I couldn't have seen coming.
Well, I did remember that. Like, I have a history in music journalism and trying to keep up, and I'm just going back through it again. Like, I really enjoyed the new album by The Armed. It's called Ultra Pop. Don't let that fool you. It's not really a pop album, but it is fantastic. Then there's The Vintage Caravan, which is an album that's got Martin written all over it. Yeah, just some really good stuff. And then I was listening to Dave recommended the new Devil Sold His Soul album, because I saw Devil Sold His Soul play at a festival a few years ago and thought they were dog shite. Then this album's actually really good. It won me over.
That band, like a few others, I get dragged along to things by friends of mine, which I enjoy because it's days out drinking beer and in the sun. It's like While She Sleeps is another band you talked about that I saw live at a festival that really blew me away, and that was another band that I'd heard. And Nails and a few other like bands which you probably wouldn't associate with me with, I've seen by accident, basically, and quite enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I discovered ISIS.
The terrorist group.
The rock band.
The Islamic State.
ISIS.
They're really good.
ISIS, the rock band. I got into them because I saw them live.
They were quite seen the stage show, like it.
While She Sleeps' new album is pretty good. It's got Alex written all over it. I'm surprised he hasn't got into that.
Yeah, you'd really like While She Sleeps, Alex. It's the kind of music I played while my friends were fucking as a mezzanine flat and I didn't want to hear it.
That's got Alex written all over it.
Yes, it does. This made me think, did you guys ever watch that film, Symphony for Mr. Vengeance?
Yes, I love that film.
You know a film when, like, there's a guy who's, like, that guy's sister is, like, screaming in agony from, like, a disease she's got, and there's three dudes next door thinking he's having sex, and they're just beating off to her wails.
Is that the sequel to Old Boy?
No.
No, it's the prequel. It's the one before
it. I think it's his first film he made.
Yeah, it's not his first film. His first film is JSA, Joint Security Agency, which is a murder mystery set across the South Korean-North Korean border. So Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance is the first in a trilogy of films called The Vengeance Trilogy by Chan-wook Park. And he did, it was Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, then Old Boy, then Lady Vengeance. And then he did I'm a Cyborg, But That's Okay, which is a great sort of fun comedy-ish. And then...
I like The vampire one, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, the vampire one. He's done one English language one, which was Stoker, which was a bit weird.
Here to talk about music. Tonight we've compiled a playlist designed for the bedroom. We said we'd do it on the end of the last episode, so we are here to do it, and we don't want to just make this sordid. There will be some explanations and actual criticism into the song, so don't be put off by the bawdy premise of the episode.
I'm picking tracks on here. You know, it's not going to be all about sex, is it?
We'll start with number one, shall we? We are doing this in a random order, so the playlist that will be posted on the blog will not match up with this. We're doing it to surprise ourselves. First for discussion tonight, which is designated for the boudoir. I'm not going to do that every time, because it's going to get weird.
Please do. Please do. I want to see that.
First up for discussion is Rest My Chemistry by Interpol, which is one of Martin's picks. So, Martin, what makes this a good addition to the Bedroom Jams playlist?
It was part of kind of my narrative, my three tracks. But, like, I'll talk about that later. But I love this song so much because... I mean, you know, I'll talk about the music in a minute, but lyrically, it's basically about somebody who is an absolute confirmed hedonist, who has obviously been spending way too much time taking a lot of drugs, drinking a lot of alcohol, and hanging out with, you know...
Baphomet.
With Baphomet, definitely with Baphomet. Baphomet was definitely at these parties. I think this isn't about, this isn't really a bedroom jam as such. It is in a sense that it's the aftermath. It's the kind of like, there's a guy who has really enjoyed himself for quite a long time, but it's got to the point where he's not enjoying himself anymore. And now he's looking back and going, what the fuck does this all mean? And he's kind of, you know, there's a lot of regret and there's a lot of kind of meaningless to it. So hedonism in its own kind of, I'm a confirmed hedonist, obviously, anyone that knows me, but it is a shallow way of life, and it's kind of, there isn't anything really spiritually fulfilling about it. It is just pleasure for, you know, seeking pleasure for its own sake. And I find this song really sad and really melancholy in the sense.
And obviously that's what you want in the bedroom.
It's basically he's lying there in the bed and he's alone, and he's probably like, you know, been with, you know, countless women or whatever, you know, and had the sexy times and all the rest of it. But ultimately, sex in itself isn't really fulfilling. It's kind of a really good song in the sense that it shows that there is way more to life than just the simple pleasure. I mean, as you know, sex is up there as one of the greatest pleasures we can ever have. But without that intimacy, then it really doesn't mean anything. And I think the song really encapsulates that perfectly. It's a guy sitting there in bed smoking a fag with a half-drunk glass of whiskey next to his bed. And, you know, whoever he was with has long since gone, and now he's all alone. And I can you can tell that the guy from Interpol, Paul Banks, who wrote it, you know, wrote the lyrics, he's absolutely lived that, and this is a song that absolutely comes from truth, and it's a song I really, really relate to.
So you've basically picked a song, so instead of the like celebrating the joys of sex, you've picked a song to reflect the shame you have after a wank.
There's no shame in having a wank, because you got to love yourself, right? But, you know, this is about kind of like just, you know, that kind of that mourning feeling of, you know, you've been with someone and now they're gone. You're never going to see them again. And there's no intimacy there. It's the emptiness, that pure emptiness is just there. And it's such a beautiful song in that way. I chose it because it was part of a trilogy. Well, the three songs that I chose, and it was the last one of like the story that I was telling. In the choices that I picked, but like it is just like kind of it's the one night stand night after hungover, just fuck, here's real life again, you know your nose is fucked up with cocaine, whatever, it doesn't, you know, it's just the emptiness of pure hedonism is absolutely encapsulated in that song, more than probably any I've ever heard.
It basically reflects the dopamine dump you had the night before, the next day when you have to make up for it.
Yeah, I mean, you were a rock star the night before, you were a god, and then in the morning you're just a sweaty man in a bed.
Oh, that's what I always say when I'm getting pissed. I always say, oh, I'm going to cash in, tomorrow's happy.
Borrowing happiness from
tomorrow. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
That's when you're writing checks that your body can't cash.
I should say I do really, really like this song. I think I have a bit of a, well, both Martin and I have a bit of a love affair with Interpol's back catalogue. For me,
yes, we do.
For me, like, the first album was a bit of an unheralded gem. It's a bit raw, but it's great. Antics was the pinnacle for me. What's interesting is this album that this is off is I Love to Admire, which is 2007, and it's the sort of the tail end of when I really loved this band. And this song at the time was one of the reasons why I didn't like this album, but it has aged really well. So going back to it now, it's just a track off Antics slowed down with a bit more emotion in it. It's great.
It's got a lot of emotion. And when you think about Interpol, it's that on the surface, they didn't really, the emotion isn't there on the surface, but when you dig deep down, it is absolutely 100% there. And yeah, I agree with you. You know, Antics is the high point for me as far as Interpol are concerned. They never got better than that. But this song off of, you know, off of Our Love to Admire is probably their most emotional song. Maybe that and NYC, but like, yeah, I mean, musically, the musicianship in it matches the message of the song so brilliantly. It's just kind of like it's kind of melancholy, but not too much. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like not a melancholy like I'm going to have a cry, but more a melancholy like, you know, when you have had such a great time, but you feel flat. You feel like that kind of numb, depressed, but not sad. You're just kind of like, you don't feel anything at all. I think that song encapsulates that perfectly. That whole, like, you know, I've had the fucking best night in my life, but now I feel nothing.
Yeah, but to have sex to it might be a bit of a downer. I mean, I really liked it, actually, because I'm one of those people that I've never just sat down and decided I'm going to listen to some Interpol, but every time I've heard them, I've actually really enjoyed it, so I probably should do that.
The drummer from Interpol is probably my favourite drummer of all time. Sam Fogarino is just, he's literally, yeah, my favourite drummer ever. It's so tight. If you like Joy Division, it's an obvious fucking comparison, but, like, it works. I mean, it's just dark, New York, hedonistic, you know, grimy, like, post-punk.
I think they were on like the Conan O'Brien show or something. They did the song PDA, and that's what got me into them. And I think I got into them. One, I quite like the song, but two, they made it like a bit of a cock up at the start, the guitarist did or something. And ever since then, I was like, oh, these guys are all right. Enjoy.
The thing is, well, with Interpol, they are the best dressed band on the planet. They are the coolest looking band I've ever seen. They just look like a bunch of guys that are hanging out in Vegas.
Wearing their Matalan Chiles.
Matalan Chiles.
In my head, it's like if Joy Division were good, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the Joy Division influence is obvious, but there's other post-punk bands that are more kind of prevalent in their music, bands like the Chameleons, you know, in Television. They've got a very big place in my heart. I once spent, again, you know, going through a bit of a breakup with someone, I spent a whole month and I didn't listen to any other band than Interpol for a whole month. I refused to listen to anyone else, and it got me through.
Yeah, but do you find that you can't, like, listen to it now because it's got negative, like, a negative association? It's like, I had a song by a band called Bleeding Through as my alarm clock for about 3 years at uni. And it just started off with, oh, I don't give a fuck. It just started like fucking heavy as balls. And it was like one of my favourite songs ever, but I can't listen to it anymore because it just reminds me of waking up at 7 a.m.
It's a good question, Alan. I must admit, having to wake up at 7 a.m. is far worse than going through a horrific breakup.
It truly is.
But no, I still listen to Interpol on the regular. I still listen to a lot of Interpol. And I love pretty much everything they've done equally, you know, their later stuff. I've got a strong passion for them. waking up at 7 a.m.
Hey, you can get a new girlfriend. You can't get his hours back.
Exactly.
She dumped you, but you had a good 8 hours. You wouldn't give a fuck.
He missed the big breakfast, Martin. For fuck's sake.
Missed the big breakfast, man. You're right.
It's part of a band I'm not really that familiar with. But this song I did really like. And it's got all those nice guitar textures that I think are relevant to this topic tonight. It's definitely got this kind of beat. It's just the right tempo. And the guitar sounds are nice. It's a lush sounding song. So yeah, it sits well with the theme that we've got tonight. We will be posting the playlist on the blog in the order in which it was picked. So you will get to hear Martin's trilogy as it was originally intended. But for the sake of chaos, we're discussing them in random order tonight. Does anybody else have anything they want to say about Interpol?
I just think they're for mopey cunts, not from punctual people who need to get up at 7 in the morning and be 10 minutes late for a lecture.
Yeah. They're not for the well rested.
Next up for discussion this evening is one of Tom's picks. This is the first song that you picked, I believe, and this is Sleep Token and their song Calcutta.
I know Dave will hate this, but I feel the same about a lot of his picks. This particular topic is not really one for me. Like, I hate listening to songs about sex in general. Like, Dan knows, we've had the discussion about my feelings on several artists and how I'm a bit of a prude when it comes to that. So I wanted to pick stuff that I actually wouldn't turn off rather than stuff that I would actually play at the time. It's got a sort of a romantic feel to it. It starts off with a sort of, I think the reason I picked this track is because the intro sounds like the sort of track I imagined you or Dave would pick. That sort of slightly R&B-esque, slightly yeah. synthy but updated, and then it goes to this sort of really euphoric place in the middle, which I really like. And I think the lyrics don't really say anything, but they're quite worshipful and respectful, and like I quite like where they're going. Yeah, and then it's heavy as balls at the end, which is great.
The outro is heavy.
It's the sort of song, because it starts out quite sad in tone, and it's the sort of thing you just have a climax to, you know.
Yeah.
After you finish, you just weep in each other's arms.
Can we break at this point of the podcast and discuss what we think distilled down makes a good track for whatever scenario you would like to discuss? So for me, I will start the circle. I'm Dave McGlinchey and I'm in AA. And I would just like to say, as a sex jam, all I really want from something is that I don't care about the lyrics. They're in the background. I ain't listening to them. They can be vaguely sexual, the odd one that I cast, that I can pick up in my ear. The beat tends to be medium to slow, maybe about 100, 120. The bass is predominant. The melody needs to be generally not far off the bass and pretty filthy. And apart from that, I just want that distilled down to its base scenario.
Like, what you just described then is between 100 and 120 BPM, it does that. The bass is predominant. It does that for a large part of the track. And the lyrics follow the bass.
Let's distill that down to the best example. Now, out of, if we were playing the game Catchphrase, the one out of the 100 people on the high street probably wouldn't be a whooping answer for the track you selected, but for maybe the track I selected would have been maybe.
Well, they wouldn't do it in Catchphrase, but they might in Family Fortune.
That's the thing with this podcast, is we've selected a topic and we've selected songs to go with the topic, and I think it's down to us as individuals to explain why we've selected these particular songs. That's why I haven't given a grand intro about what makes a good bedroom jam, because I think it's up for debate on each individual track. The way I've approached this certainly is to say everybody's tastes are going to vary a lot on this subject. If you're creating a bedroom playlist, you have to bear in mind that certain tracks are maybe what you want, but they may be deemed cheesy to other people. Not that I'm talking from experience in creating a well-curated bedroom playlist that's been laughed at.
When I think of romance in music, I go to the romantic music, so I'm actually and I come from a classical perspective, and I like those big euphoric moments. They feel full of passion and romance and things like that, which is what I want. You listen to the middle section of this track, when it, not the heaviest fuck bit at the end, but the middle section where it goes heavy, and that is a hair on the back of your neck moment within the track, and that's what I want to hear. And it does that.
It physically resonates with you then.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
The middle section where you're getting goosebumps, I'm not interested in. The heaviest fuck end section is probably where, and, you know, quote me if I'm wrong, Al, I think me and you at the end of that section.
You've also got to remember is, if you're talking about jams that, like, you know, your bedroom jams, you've got to also remember the other person involved.
Yeah.
I said earlier that, you know, your bedroom jams are very, like, personal to you. They're personal to you, and they're also personal to whoever you're with. And I think that, I think this is quite actually a really good pick. It's kind of got that whole crescendo thing going on. I think it's got the whole package, you know. The first part is your bit of foreplay, and then it's got, like, the bit of banging, and then it's got, like, the thrust in a way, you know. Yeah. Going for it stuff.
It's just not fast.
But I think my the one reason I could never listen to this sort of stuff with, you know, trying to have sex is because I'd be too many times, like, going, hang on, what are they doing there? Oh, I've done a minor fifth. Oh.
Well, shall we see who's next up for discussion? Oh, look, it is you, Dave. This is one of your picks, and this is by the band 112, featuring Lil Zane. And the track's called Anywhere. It's certainly a step in the R&B direction of the late 90s.
Sorry to correct you, Dan. It's 112. They're an R&B outfit. Yeah, I mean, it's 112 in a numerical format, so I don't chastise you for pronouncing it wrong. But they would like you to pronounce the name 112.
I never knew that.
R&B outfit from 2000, did the lyrical content to I'll Be Missing You.
Yeah, that's where I first knew them.
Yeah, they were on Bad Boy Records. This was featured in the Magic Mike playlist, and I think ahead of the kind of Genuine Pony.
Yeah, that's the song that it reminds me of the most, Pony, which could have been a selection.
I put this ahead of that because I think the beat is just insane.
It's great.
Lyrical content is retarded. Like, a lot, if you were to actually write it out on an A4 sheet of paper, it's just bullshit. But the flow is amazing. The melody is really, really nice. The rapping has a male and female accompaniment, which is nice from the 2000 times. And the bass line, synth accompaniment, I don't know what instrument it comes from. Just fucking, it's nice, man. It really gets me. And, you know, my pet genre that nobody wants to talk about is Booty House, and it's very reminiscent of those kind of, like, early Chicago, late Detroit, titty bar kind of vibes that I fucking really like. Real pounding beats, real dirty bass.
I'm kind of with Dave on this, where, like, I went on my way to pick songs where there isn't really a break in the beat, where there's no change in the rhythm. Like, when you're getting down a day, you don't really want any, like, pausing or any, like, change in feel. You want a continuous feel for quite a long time, you know? And I think that's why I kind of like this one for it, because it is exactly, well, what Dave said. Like, you just need that solid beat. The lyrics, he gives a fuck about the lyrics. As long as it sounds kind of nice, that's what you need.
This is just straight up filth. Titty bar filth. And that's what you want.
I come from the opposite direction in that I like the wraparound of Euphoria. But, like, that's what I want from it. I don't care about the beat. I want to feel like I'm enveloped in something romantic at the time. And dirty hip hop is not fucking romantic.
I think this is where Tom and Dave are at totally different ends of the spectrum, is where, for Tom, making love is like a big ritual thing, whereas for Dave it's like, oh, just banging some chick after an outside
night. Like, kind of, we should point out that, you know, Dave is married.
Yeah, now bear in mind I don't play any of these tracks now.
Well, Dave's married, so this is all theoretical.
Yeah. When you are having sex, it's not, it depends on the context,
and that's why this is an interesting topic of discussion, because there's so many different ways that people look at it that I thought it would be interesting to compile, because it, instantly, if you look at the playlist, you can see there are so many different types of songs on here, and that's why we're here to explain. Fundamentally, a sex playlist does not work, because you can't guarantee that it's going to get the same reaction from every single person. But we'll introduce another song to the mix. Martin, it's another one of your picks. And this one was, I think, the first in your trilogy. So you'll be able to go back to the start and fill in some missing details from before. This one is an Oakenfold track featuring the late Brittany Murphy, which is rather sad, actually. It reminded me of the tragic death of Brittany Murphy. But the song is called Faster Kill Pussycat. It was released in 2006. It's essentially the tail end of Big Beat.
Well, before Martin explains why he chose it, it's been annoying the hell out of me. But the start of that song sounds like another dance song.
Body Snatchers.
Body Snatchers. Oh, that's...
It's featured, actually, a person we've had on the podcast before who was a massive feature in Big Beat scene, who was Aldo Vannucci.
Shout out to Aldo.
Well, I mean, the reason I chose it is because I really like it. I fucking love it. When I first heard it, I was like, this is one of the sexiest things I've ever heard. I was like, you know, I'm not a massive... I do love Oakenfold. I think he's great. He's a genius. He's a legend.
Some really good Oakenfold tracks on this album, A Lively Mind. Amsterdam is like a techno banger. And there's a song called Save the Last Trance for Me, which is like one of the last trance songs.
I rate him as well. I think he's a bit of a dance magpie, but I do rate
him. You know,
him.
He's part of that whole, like, Ibiza, you know, sort of resident DJ kind of scene. But anyway, this track, I fucking love it because it's just... It's so simple. It's the most simple kind of like riff that you could possibly ever come up with. But it is so sexy. And the first thing that comes to mind is just like, it's exactly what you'd imagine pole dancers fucking stripping to, you know, it is sexy in the extreme. And even the lyrics, you know, you turn me on and all that. It's just like, fuck me, man. You just want to fuck this song. It is just so sexy. So in relation to like my narrative, our protagonist, who's like this rock star dude, in a Matalan gilet, he's out and he's, you know, he's kind of like the man around town and, you know, all the girls love his body warmer. And, he pulls this woman and, you know, she's into him and that. And, you know, they got back to the hotel room and she's dancing for him. And this is what she would dance to. You know, it would be on and she would, like, dance away all sexy. And it's like getting ready. It's like kind of like they're not having sex yet. It's the precursor. I fucking love this tune so much. I fucking listen to it quite a bit. It's just, it comes on my shuffle, you know, my playlist.
I'd forgotten all about it for years. I remember liking it in 2006 when it came out. And it is sad because Brittany Murphy was so upfront in the promotion of the single. She was in the music video. And she, of course, died a few years later in mysterious circumstances where they found some weird fungus growth in her... in her home. So yeah, it's sad listening to that, and it kind of puts a little bit of a damp on it from where it originally was for me, but I really loved the song at the time. And yeah, it belongs on this. It's got that driving beat that you need. Next up for discussion is one of my picks, and this one is a song that I've picked for its socio-historic importance. This is Quiet Storm by Smokey Robinson. And the reason I picked this song is because in the 70s, when this song was popular in Washington, D.C., black radio would play this quite regularly. And it caused a lot of radio stations that would focus on this type of R&B. And they would pop up across the country. And the influence of this kind of music played, which was always played usually at night time, resulted in almost like a baby boom, essentially, and a boom of these radio stations that were called Quiet Storm radio stations. So this song would usually be the first song played on the nighttime bedroom jam playlist by all these stations in the 70s across America. And then it became a thing throughout the 90s as well. So it spread from Washington, all over the north east of America, and throughout the country as well. And this song would always be the first song that they played. It's the genre is practically named after it, and it's just a gorgeous R&B song. It's got beautiful vocals from Smokey Robinson, who sounds smooth, always smooth and on point. It's got a loose feel to it, but that bass groove is delicious. It's just the prototype of the kind of extended R&B gospel infused emotionally intimate R&B jam that is synonymous with this type of music, and that's why I've selected it, because I think it is. It may not be the best example of this kind of music. There's certainly songs done by the Isley Brothers, like Between the Sheets, that came later, that you could have in place of this. But I think because this is the game changer, this is why I put this on the map this evening.
It is a great song. It is a total fucking bedroom jam.
This song is responsible for millions of people existing.
What better fucking tribute to a song than that? And you can see why. You can imagine, like, these young black couples in the ghetto, and this is on the radio, and it's like, it's time to get down, and it's romantic, it's beautiful, it's soulful, it's sexy.
It's a good foreplay song.
I also don't think that it's not particularly laden with innuendo or any kind of suggestive imagery. So I think that even Tom, who doesn't like that kind of vulgarity in music, may be able to put this on and get by with it. Tom?
I didn't hate it for its lyrical content.
Good start.
Glowing review, 5 stars.
I can totally appreciate it. Smokey Robinson's got a great voice. You know, it's well put together. It just, for me, it doesn't move me in any way. That's it leaves me a bit cold. But I appreciate the artistry in it more than in a lot of other tracks that have been picked on this list. But if I never heard it again, it wouldn't ruin my life. For me, soul falls into two distinct categories in the sort of late 60s, early 70s. You've got the gooey romantic soul music, and you've got the fire and brimstone political soul music. I love the fire and brimstone political soul music, like Marvin Gaye particularly, is amazing.
But you've also got the sex jams.
And I don't like the sex jams.
This song could have been Funky Space Reincarnation by Marvin Gaye, or it could have been Let's Get It On, Just to Keep You Satisfied. He made a lot of songs.
Yeah, they're the ones I don't like. I like when he does, is it Young, Black and Proud or whatever.
See, for me, Let's Get It On is my favourite Marvin Gaye album. And it was really hard for me not to pick a Marvin Gaye song.
For my two pence worth, I didn't really rate this track, but from what Dan said about the cultural impact is what I was going to talk about. And I do like the fact that he's brought up that, because there's other tracks, for instance, Sade's The Sweetest Taboo, which has got a line, is a quiet storm and there's something I can't live anymore. There's something I can't give you that's the sweetest taboo, which references this track. And there's a multiple R&B or rap tracks which reference this track to be a kind of like cultural sway.
Yeah, it's the godfather, it's the OG.
As a standalone track, don't really rate it, but as like a cultural point of...
It's not my favourite Smokey Robinson track. I think Being With You would be up above this track, for instance. But why I picked this
thank
song,
you.
Well, you're welcome. I've selected this song not for personal preference, and I think I alluded to earlier that a sex playlist is something that you make and you're kind of hoping for a reaction that you can't guarantee. And so I've just looked at this from not necessarily on all my picks, but on this one I've gone more objective rather than subjective and said, look, this is the OG, this is the song that created these radio stations and was their constant for years and decades. And it's caused such an influence on the genre that I couldn't possibly pick any of the better examples from the genre because they owe it to this in a way.
What it comes down to is, would you fuck to it? I would. Seems fine.
I would.
There you go.
It's got the seal of approval from Al.
Totally got the seal of approval from me.
We'll move on to the next track and we'll stay in the soul genre, this time of the neo-soul variety. This is one of Dave's picks. It is D'Angelo's 1995 title track from his album Brown Sugar.
I mean, just fucking out and out banger.
It's a great song.
A lot of people kind of debating whether he was talking about smoking weed or fucking women of his own culture. Doesn't really matter.
I think it's about weed.
People kind of don't really understand wordplay, simile, and metaphor. Things can mean to. It's like the Stranglers' Golden Brown track. Things are multiple meaning and written as such. So
it's deliberately ambiguous.
Yeah. Let's not get hung up on things. But yeah.
It has the nice rhythm, it has a nice tenderness to it, which I could totally get down with.
See, Dave, if you'd picked anything off Voodoo, I would have got behind it.
Oh no, this is the best D'Angelo album.
Absolutely will not agree.
I personally would have gone for Me and Those Streaming Eyes of Mine, or his cover of Smokey Robinson's Cruising.
Cruising's a man.
See, my problem with this track is that it's going for something jazzy in the background, but I don't like a lot of jazz, and the jazz I do like tends to be, like, interesting.
Fucking hell, this is convoluted.
Thelonious Monk or Ken Vandermark.
That's what you don't like about it.
The thing is, though, this has got pedigree in its production, because this is... the production on this is by Ali Shaheed Muhammad, who was a Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a recording studio called Electric Ladyland in New York, which Dave Chappelle did his block party from, which did Common. Yeah, it did in that particular year, it or couple of years, it did Common, Erykah Badu, D'Angelo, Jamie Foxx, early 2000s Chappelle Show. He did Dave Chappelle's block party, and kind of all of those guys were, and Black Thought and Common and Tully Quilly were all part of
this.
That
is a fucking absolute jam. My favorite style of hip hop in the early 90s was when, you know, Gangstar kind of introduced the whole jazz hip-hop thing, and Tribal Quest to a degree. And like you said, the guy from Tribal Quest produced this. You can hear it all over it. You could have Guru rap over this, you know, or Q-Tip rap over this, and it would still sound awesome. But, like, the vocals, the vocals from D'Angelo make it a sex jam, and I think it's fucking excellent. If this came on, if I was listening to, because I only ever like have the radio on if I'm in bed with somebody, if this came on, it would be like, yeah, now we're getting serious. I fucking love this style of jazz. Absolutely love it. It's straight up. I'm sorry, Tom, man. I know you hate 4/4, but
I don't hate 4/4.
Our heartbeat works at 4/4, and that's when you're having sex, you're working at 4/4.
Bang, bang, bomb.
You're on a thrusting 5/6.
I believe you've hit the nail on the head there.
I should also point out that our heartbeat doesn't run.
It does. It runs in 4/4.
No, it doesn't.
Tom's heart's in 7/8.
Yeah. Isn't the heartbeat more of a triplet, more of a shuffle beat?
It is probably more of a shuffle, to be honest, because it's that ba-boom, ba-boom. But it's 4/4. 4/4 is a Western cultural derivation, and in several African and Asian cultures, fives and sevens are more common. And like the tracks I've picked are predominantly in 4/4. It's just that I find that sort of slightly way, like D'Angelo has done some really good stuff, but I like his later stuff. This album does nothing
with
for me.
With the Vanguard.
Yeah, like this album does nothing for me because it's just lounge jazz with Whaley vocals.
It's not lounge jazz.
D'Angelo is doing all
the... Oh, he's playing loads of the instruments. And
he's playing
really
all of
cool.
It.
Yeah, that's... I really like the fact he's a multi-instrumentist. I totally respect him for that. But I don't... Like, as somebody who has been subjected to a lot of jazz over the years... This isn't good jazz.
Yeah, but it isn't jazz.
It's not
though.
Jazz. It's neo soul.
No, the jazziness of it is mixed very high. It's not hidden away.
No, and D'Angelo would wear all of those influences on his sleeve.
Look, he wears his influences on his sleeve, and after this song, she'll be wearing it on her face.
Dan, please don't edit that out.
We will introduce the next song to the mix, because I actually think that this is probably going to be the same conversation, different song. This is one of Al's picks, so you're first for the evening, Al. And up for discussion is the wonderful track, one of my favourites. It's Just Be Good To Me by the SOS
Band. Oh, man, I love this song. I like the lyrical content of this. It's, what is it, about a woman who's basically one of three or four chicks. But she's like, yeah. I don't care.
Before you crack on, are you coming to the dark side with me and Whittle?
How so?
It's beautiful, and we welcome you over here with a large embrace. Al, it's an incredible side of the fence to be on. It's really warm and embracing, and everybody loves everybody, and we can all have slap bass lines and lovely 4/4 rim shots, and you can just come over and chill with me and Dan. It's fine. You don't have to be over there and you're kind of like, I sort of like intellectual rock music, but I don't. You can just come over here and be in our nice little soul funk camp.
Al has selected one of the best extended R&B funk jams that is significant to me, because this is produced by Jam and Lewis.
Oh, it's a fucking slammer.
I mean, I just picked it because, one, I just really like the song. I like lyrical content, you know, about women. He's like, I don't give a fuck about what else you're up to. Just be good to me. It's got the right level of... It's quite... Because it's the level of music it's at, it's like, it's not too like out there. It's not under. It's not like underwhelming. It's just a nice level, a steady beat for a long period of time. There's no like big crescendos, there's no down in it. It's just perfect to have sex to. It's just a good feel the whole way through. Like, just be good to me.
At the time this was actually made, Jam and Lewis were still in The Time. They made this with the SOS Band, and there was a blizzard, and they subsequently missed an appearance on Prince's, I think it was the Triple Threat Tour, where he had The Time supporting his main act, and they missed the gig, and he fired them from The Time.
Oh, right.
They probably would have gone into obscurity and never been known, but because this song became a hit in America, they then subsequently went on to produce albums for Janet Jackson. They worked with Michael Jackson.
I only know this song by them. I think I know the other like single you see music for on YouTube, but I am definitely gonna delve deeper.
For me, though, it's more about Jam and Lewis and their production, which would then go on to work for like Alexander O'Neill and so many pop artists. They even did Give It To You by Jordan Knight. They've worked with everyone in pop music.
Yeah, they're powerhouses.
They've made some of the best beats ever.
But outside of Jam and Lewis, SOS are like strong on their own.
This song is probably one of my favourite songs from the 80s because it was quite huge on the radio when I was growing up and used to hear it a lot. And I never got over that bass line, man. That bass line, and also, you know, the synth,
it's
bass
guitar
tone
as well, man.
Yeah,
it's not,
man,
even
like,
fucking
seriously,
bass
guitar. It's just, it is relentlessly fucking cool.
The UK version of this band, I think, probably came off the back of those Yarborough and Peoples as well.
Yeah,
they did the song Don't Stop That, which the bass line is very similar.
I think personally, SOS Band, Just Be Good To Me is a undeniable banger, in my opinion.
I would say so. I think we have someone who's going to disagree. Tom, the floor is yours.
As a listening experience, if the song was 3 or 4 minutes long, I'd probably quite like it. Having to listen to it for homework for this, and it being over 9 minutes long.
Just turn it off after 3 minutes.
Why can't it be 15 minutes long?
I can't do it.
It could last 3 hours, and I'd.
Yeah, this could go not just knee deep. This could go like 15 minutes. I'd be happy with that.
This is the song that became Beats International's Dub Be Good To Me, which is...
Yes.
Yeah, with the...
Which is four minutes long
and is great. There's some nice sounds in it. I like the vocal idea, but I'm bored.
It sounds so condescending when you talk about it. It's some nice sounds they tried.
Yeah, Jam and Lewis, you tried really hard for your grand.
I'm probably never going to listen to it again through choice, but I didn't hate it.
Well,
that's high praise. That's a 4 out of 5 stars from Tom, isn't it?
I'm going to introduce the next song into the mix now. And this one is another one of yours, Al.
Me.
This is the one that I think may just be an undeniable banger.
It won't be.
This is Hot Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
And You Sexy Thing, which is an obvious choice. You know, you've got the whole Robert Carlyle, who I have mixed feelings about.
Small eyes.
He's got tiny eyes. You can't trust people with tiny eyes.
I think this is an undeniable banger, but
for me, I do.
This is by far the best sex song on the list of all of us. I know I'm tooting my own horn, but like, it's Like, you can listen to all of them, but as soon as Hot Chocolate comes on, there's an extra level of enthusiasm you get whilst you're listening. It doesn't matter, like, if it's...
Yeah, Errol Brown was a smooth-ass motherfucker that laid a hell of a lot of pipe.
He's got an underrated presence in vocal history, and not enough people say give him his props. I think Errol Brown was tremendous.
It's got a good tempo for fucking, you know what I mean? And it's got... And it gives you the exact feeling you want. That level of enthusiasm, happiness, joy, and it's like there's no way anyone can really dislike this song except Tom.
I haven't said anything yet.
I'm preempting.
Preempting is completely wrong, but carry on.
Of course I have, because it's an undeniable banger. There's a reason why it's an obvious choice. It's because it's just that good for it.
Well, they use it in a lot, like the full Monty, and it is kind of... It's one of those where it's quite cliche, and if you put it on, I think that... It could raise some eyebrows, like, oh, you're really going, like, you're going obvious. But I think it's a good enough song that people would just go, yeah, I'm down.
I've not met one person who dislikes it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And that is what the idea of an undeniable banger is. It's one of those where it's so good, everyone gives it a pass.
Do you know what I like about it? And it's something maybe Tom can buy into, is, you know, the main riff, down, 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 down. It's not like really on the one. It kind of almost comes in almost like shallow, like, wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, it's on the four. It's the opposite to James Brown.
It sounds like it's been KY jellied up. It's like kind of just leaks in there.
It's music for the cheesy undressing phase before you get down to it, isn't it?
The thing about this song as well is it was originally a B-side. The original mix wasn't as good as this, and then they kind of realised the potential in the song and remixed it, and then it released it as a, and it became the song. Like, it's in Full Monty, Reservoir Dogs. It's like the strip male stripper song.
Is it in Reservoir Dogs? Where's it in Reservoir Dogs?
It's on the radio.
You're thinking of Calling the Gang. Get down, get down, diddle it, diddle it. You know that one.
Well, according to Wikipedia, it's been in other films, including 90s films, Reservoir Dogs.
Fact check.
Boogie Nights, Juice Bigelow, Male Gigolo. And weirdly, Bicentennial Man.
Oh, wow.
I can't see how that film was particularly sexy, but yeah.
Well, it did Mork and Mindy, so come on.
Pork and Mindy.
Either way, 10 out of 10 song, 10 out of 10 sex song.
Undeniable banger certified. Now, your third pick is next, and it is The Hoosiers. Glorious. It's a bit different to your other two.
Yeah, fucking shite.
I will admit, this is one of the songs where I kind of picked, so I was kind of doing these a bit quickly, but it's probably the one I would probably retract from the list.
You've become the person you hate. You've picked a fucking wanky bullshit on some kind of arse train of thought you've had at 3 a.m. to try and become Thomas Frank. It's bollocks song. It's got bugger all to do with the topic.
Okay, I want to retract it. One, I love Fry. Two, this song is really fun, and fuck you, it's better than that 112 shite.
Yeah.
And four, there is no four, but the reason is, it's a song about this glorious, let's feel glorious together, and it's a celebration of the act.
Yeah,
it's a
great enjoyed it.
I wouldn't have it anywhere near my bedroom playlist.
No, it's in hindsight, it's not quite a sexy song. It's more of a song for someone who's like just been trying for weeks to get in someone's pants, and when he finally gets there, that's it, it's glorious.
There's a wrestler called Bobby Roode who uses a song called Glorious as his theme music, and it weirdly reminds me of that, which is not an association I'd ever want near the bedroom.
That song reminds me of early to mid 2000s, like happy synthy indie, and it also sounds exactly like what would happen if you shoved a load of ecstasy down Matt Bellamy's throat. This is the music that would come out of it. I actually like this song. It's probably not a bedroom song,
and it annoys me that he picked it to me.
I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
If someone else had picked it, it'd have been fine, but the fact that it's come from you just really is deeply
a man of
hurtful.
Such stature and social.
And I've just got to bow out after that.
I assure you, if you make love to me in this song, you'd come round.
Wow, should we move on?
Yes.
Tom, this is your second pick of the evening, it is a live version of A Three-Legged Workhorse by This Will Destroy You. It's very much a shoegazy post-rock soundscape.
This is the sort of music that would be on in my house all the time, including in the bedroom, because it's this particular track I chose because it's just pure instrumental euphoria. If you've never listened to this song loud enough that the foundations of your house are vibrating, you haven't lived.
So did none of this is a euphemism then? Like, you didn't pick a band called This Will Destroy You and a three-legged workhorse?
No.
Because it's not... None of that's a euphemism. That was just... That's what I thought. I was like, this has got nothing to do with sex, but I guess the song title and the band name does sound a bit porny.
See, no, I picked it because literally this is the only song that I picked that has actually been used for purpose. This track, if you play it really, really, really loud, is just one of the most beautiful things. Interestingly, I don't like the album version of it, but I love this live version of it. And I saw them on this tour, and it was one of those moments where it's just pure, when it kicks in... It's
coming in your pants.
Did they give you a Woody in your pants, Thomas?
Basically...
It's like that.
You know, it's pure musical euphoria. It's proper shoegaze comfort. It's great, and it's just makes you feel something, and I love it for that.
One of the major tenets of shoegaze is sexuality, and especially with My Bloody Valentine, is a band like MBV are absolutely riddled with sexuality in a very sensual way. And
riddled is totally not the right word you want to use in that sense.
Well, you know, I mean,
laden.
I think, like, you know, when you talk about sex and music, you know, there's the obvious stuff, you know, there's obvious sex music, but then there's like stuff that is a little bit more sensual than that. It's a little bit more kind of like, it's more about like less the visceral porn action that, you know, you think about sex, but more about like the intimate kind of moment of union between two people. And I think shoegaze as a genre, Cocteau Twins, especially MBV, Slow Dive, you know, those bands absolutely encapsulate that whole idea of like two people coming
exactly
together and being as one. And I think that's where you're coming from.
And this track, I think, does that. Like, because I could have picked any track by Explosions in the Sky for this, but this track does it the best.
It makes you feel. I don't think it wouldn't be into my personal taste, but I can see how it is. And I don't think it's necessary to always go down the R&B path.
I think this song's more of a song for a premature ejaculation. It's just all build up, no payoff.
The way this band work, which I love, is that they're a four piece. They've got drummer, bass player who does a lot of the synth stuff, and they've got two guitarists. One who plays sat down all the time and just picks out those beautiful single note melodies, and the other guy who stands up and goes nuts and makes all the other noise. And it's just,
that would be me.
Yeah, that'd be you, and I'd be the guy with the single note melody or the bass player. But it's the way they work together, and for me the payoff is, if you listen, you have to listen to the whole of the live album to get it, because it's actually when they perform live, it becomes one long piece that goes on for about an hour. But there are plenty of payoffs and drops within it. But the reason I picked this particular track off that record is that single note melody at the beginning of the track that builds is just beautiful. That single note melody is just beautiful in its simplicity. It's almost nursery rhyme-esque.
I think it's about intimacy, and I think your choices actually cover intimacy better than some of the others.
Well, next up for discussion is one of my picks. It's a weird song for me to pick because it is kind of obvious, but not in the way that you think I would pick an obvious tune. It's Wicked Game by Chris Isaak.
Wow, what a jam.
The fucking best pick on this list, and you're a fucking genius.
I'm sorry, this isn't better than Hot Chocolate. Disagree.
This is the pick I want to fucking die on. A banger. A fucking banger.
This is, for me, an undeniable banger.
It's an undeniable banger from me.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourite songs of all time.
Yeah. I tried to put this in the 1991 episode, but couldn't because it came out in 1990, despite the fact it charted in 91.
I think it's one of the most perfect pieces of music ever committed to tape.
There is also the connection between this song and one of our favourite directors, David Lynch, because he did the music video as well, with Helena Christensen. That's very sensual in itself. That's a great music video. And it's really hard to separate the images in that video with the song itself, even if you're not listening to it. Like, it's drenched in, you can hear the ocean in the guitar. it's got this distant warmth to it. That yearning note that he sings, it's just full of tenderness. It's wonderful.
I think what it reminds me of, like, you know, back in like the 1950s, the Sweetheart phase, and I think David Lynch absolutely loves that era of, like, you know, the drive-in, the date, that kind of looking over the Hollywood sign thing. And it has that totally, like, that innocent time when you weren't going on a date to bang, you were going on a date to just date, and, like, in the innocent sense, there's a lot of innocence in that song.
It's got exactly the same vibe that I love for the early 80s with fucking Steve Winwood or, like, fucking Christopher Cross.
Yeah, Sailing and things like that, yeah.
This singer, Chris Isaak, you know, what he's singing is, you just know that he cannot be without that person that he's singing about. He literally cannot live without...
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. It's like, if he isn't with that person that he's singing about, then he will literally die, you know what I mean? And that's the beautiful thing about the song. It's not just... You know, it's a bedroom jam, but it's not just, it's more than that. It's a love song that absolutely transcends all time. It's like that one person in your life that is, like, basically your whole life, and you cannot be without them, and you're separated from them, and you just, you're not yourself. It's just, it's the most perfect love song ever written, in my opinion. And, like, it's so passionate, it's so intimate, it's so beautiful, it's so... And it is sexual as well in its own way, but in a really innocent way. It's not like, oh, bend you over the fucking bins outside Tesco's sort of thing. It's like, kind of, it's like,
you know, I want to listen to that song.
Yeah, that's a good song too. But, like,
that's probably that's a remix. Song already
that's
by
the Jam and Lewis remix.
Clean up in aisle two.
Chris Isaak's Wicked Game is literally one of the greatest songs ever written. It's an undeniable banger.
It's Al's turn to be the asshole.
It's not only the best selection on this podcast, is potentially one of the best selections on our series, so get it on the fucking list because it's mental.
Go on then. Yeah,
next up is Tom's final pick of the evening. This one is a little bit different to his other two.
Yeah,
it's certainly more of a well-known song, and it is James and the aptly named Laid.
I didn't just want to fill my three picks with post-rock, which is what I would actually do. I thought let's pick a song about sex that's done in a way that I can get behind. And I was going to put Stink by Arab Strap, but I can't actually tell anyone to listen to that song because it's utter filth. So I picked this instead because it's a banger. And its lyrics tackle sex in a way that I don't hate. So, and it's a great indie tune, so I picked it. There you go.
Well, we thank you for that, Thomas, because out of the three you picked, this was least offensive.
Oh, Border on and wasn't offensive.
No, it's a great tune.
I thought it was pretty good.
A great indie tune. I'm a big fan of James. It is like... I remember this being on the radio a lot. I remember the lyric, "She only comes when she's on top."
Yeah.
And I was like, in my experience, that's kind of holds true. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's usually the best position.
I find the pile driver's a bit better for it. I'm joking.
It's a song not about just necessarily having sex. It's about wanting it. And it's about, like, kind of like, you know, it's a guy that's like talking about someone he is, you know, being with, almost like talking to his mates about his girlfriend sort of thing. It's almost after the fact. It's not a kind of while you're doing it thing. But, man, I do dig this song a lot.
It boils down to one thing why this song belongs on this playlist, and it is simply the drum fills. That, to quote Alex, who normally does it better than I do, it's just, kind it's of. Constant. He uses the same fill every time. And it's a bit awkward, kind of like sex.
Yeah.
The drums on this track remind me of the awkwardness of sex, where you're trying to do the same thing over and over again.
In the pocket, we call it, in a funk band.
But it never loses the beat, which is what you do. A good fuck song.
This is the song to lose your virginity to, because it's awkward but functional.
Do you know what? That's such a good point, man. It is such a song about someone losing their virginity.
I think it's intentional.
They've consistently brought out some bangers through their career. They know, like, he know Tim Booth, isn't it, the singer, knows how to write a melody. Yeah. And, like, the lyrics in this song are literally about a couple obsessed with each other.
This reminds me, this is a sex song which kind of, it's almost like the song for a starting out a relationship when it's exciting and you still get to know each other, and it's a good song for that sort of, you know, like almost like early 20s sort of relationship, you know. I think this song sums it up really well, and I think that's, I mean, it's got a nice, it's got a good beat, good to have sex to. I think it's all right.
It absolutely totally like fucking illustrates like what it's like to suddenly go, oh, I'm having sex suddenly, wow, this is fucking amazing. And you might not be having good sex, but it's fucking sex, you know what I mean? And like, why not?
I was actually introduced to this song through the American Pie The Wedding soundtrack in about 2003.
Oh yeah.
And it's, so it's got that association with the sex teen comedies that were rife at the time. Another song that I nearly picked, actually, was a song by Bish Runga that was featured on American Pie. It's called Stay. Yeah, that's on the original American Pie soundtrack. That nearly got picked. There's these kind of indie tracks that were associated with those raunchy films in the late 90s, early 2000s, and there were some that I actually nearly picked, and I think this one would probably be, because I think it was a cover that was on the soundtrack, this one would be the ultimate of those kind of associations for me. The next track for the evening, it's Martin's final choice, the second of his trilogy.
The concept EP.
This is Three Colours Red. It's Strict Machine by Goldfrapp.
Right, okay, so I had to choose a Goldfrapp song because I don't think I've heard a sexier voice in music than Alison Goldfrapp, and I think she's probably one of the sexiest, fucking most incredible female, like, musicians on earth. She's, like, very underrated, and all the stuff that Lady Gaga are doing and all the stuff that Madonna did, she's kind of doing that, but like in a really underground way, where it's kind of like, you know, Goldfrapp are kind of like hidden under this whole like trip hop umbrella. Like they're quite an underground band, really, when you think about it. Even though they had massive hits and stuff,
this was one of them as well.
Yeah, it totally was. It totally was, man. I mean, it was kind of, it came out at a time around the same time that like an LCD sound system were out and stuff, so it kind of got lumped in with that a bit, but it's not really, doesn't really fit as far as my narrative is concerned. So we've got our protagonist.
That's what we were waiting for.
That's what we're waiting for. Our protagonist, you know, he's met like Brittany Murphy, you know, Oakenfold, Fasticle Pussycat, You Turn Me On, all that. You know, he's got this girl.
Hopefully he didn't have a hand in her death.
No, he didn't. Well, unless it was Patrick Bateman, maybe. But anyway, but now we're getting down to the nitty gritty. And I think what I love about it is just, it's pure female empowerment. And like, I think what Goldfrapp, or Alison Goldfrapp especially, really brought to the fore, and she's underrated for it, is like that idea of a woman taking control of her sexuality and being the one that's dominant. And also not just dominant, but understanding like the whole like dynamics of the sexual relationship, where it isn't just about who's in charge. It's not the man in charge or the woman in charge. It's about both of them agreeing to something. So there's an obvious BDSM message going in there.
Yeah, it's quite claustrophobic in its kind of bass driven
beat. Yes, it is. And, you know, and it's all about, like, to me, what this sounds like, to me, it sounds like fucking consent. So you don't know in the song whether, you know, the Strict Machine, whether it's her partner, a male, who's dominating her, or whether she's the dominant one dominating him. You don't know. You never find out. And that's the beauty of it.
Good old sexy ambiguity.
It could be like, not, it might not be another man. It might be another woman. Who cares, man?
It's the Ross and Rachel of songs. It's the will they, won't they.
But like, no, it's not the Ross and Rachel of songs, because that's toxic.
I sucked you into that one,
you,
man.
Did, didn't you?
He agreed wholeheartedly for a split second.
And then realised why.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I almost chose Ride a White Horse because I find that a sexier song, but that's kind of like, but then that's kind of the focus on the female. But what I like about this is there's no focus on either. It's a focus on the act itself. There's the focus on kind of like, there's two people, whatever gender they are, and they're enjoying themselves and they're like doing it in a kind of like very liberated way. There's a lot of control in that sexual relationship, but it's consented control, if that makes sense, so that they're both enjoying it. And that's what I like about it. And I just think it's probably one of the, it's very, what Lady Gaga is doing right now, yeah, Alison Goldfrapp was doing a long time ago. And she was doing it with much more class. You know, I think she was doing it in a way that was like, she didn't need to like, you know, thrust a crotch in your face. You didn't need that. Alison Goldfrapp, it was like, there was a lot of mystery there still. Whereas the likes of Lady Gaga doesn't have any mystery anymore. There's no mystery. She's like, going, here it is. Here's my flaps. Have a look at them. Whereas Alison Goldfrapp's like,
here's my flaps.
Exactly. A very strong female with a strong image. And she's putting herself out there, but she's not doing it in a way that's overtly sexual, but it is overtly sexual at the same time.
It's more about subtext.
Yeah, it's all about subtext. And that's what we want. I don't think we want to, and this is how I will sum up Alison Goldfrapp, is basically, if you've got a girlfriend, you don't want her going out basically showing a fanny to everyone, right? However, and Alison Goldfrapp would not do that, but to you personally, she would give you a glimpse of what you were, you know, what you were fucking going out with, right?
I mean, with that voice, you'd have a good gold fan.
Oh, dear.
Stop debasing this, right? We're intellectuals here. But my point is, like, I think Alison Goldfrapp has a sophistication that a lot of modern female artists who are trying to be sexual don't have.
It's all about the allure.
I think we're overthinking this bit. When I heard this song, I didn't think about any subtext, any previous bands before it, and how, you know, or anything like that. What was going on musically at the time? I just heard her voice, went, "Oh, that sounds sexy."
That's exactly nice it.
That's a good sex song. Fuck it, it sounds sexy. I'd have sex to it. I like the song. It's a sex song.
You've hit the nail on the head, mate. You've hit the nail on the head. And you didn't need to see her flaps to find it sexy.
Discussion is Dave's final pick of the evening, and this is the iconic Barry White, and the song that he has selected for us this evening is "I'm Gonna Love You Just a Little Bit More, Baby," which you can't not read and sound sexy.
Barry White, the walrus of love.
Yep.
Yeah.
Barry White, probably the lowest baritone singer known to man, was advised not to be a singer by his producer until we heard him sing, and then the motherfucker was a singer. Could step up on stage, command a crowd, have them eating out the fucking palm of his hand, and did so through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. If you go on YouTube and look at Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, which was a shit 90s television program with
Chris Evans.
You see Barry White.
How are we talking about Chris Evans when we're talking about Barry White?
Because Barry White did an entire special.
They're like polar opposites of each other.
Barry White did an entire special with Chris Evans on Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, where he literally had the, you know, it's a rowdy crowd. Don't Forget Your Toothbrush or TGI Fridays or whatever the fuck his TV show was always like crowd-based, and it was always a rowdy crowd. He had the entire crowd eaten out of his fucking hand. He was always a showman. He was always an absolute crowd performer. And, yeah, this is the ultimate, as far as I'm concerned, of sex jams, not only sex jams, but soul jams. The musicality is incredible. It's backed up by a proper orchestra. His singing is second to none. I don't know a baritone singer which could do more of a job than he does. yes, it's not on a particularly bizarre time signature. Yeah, it's not on a fucking diminished F chord or whatever the fuck it is. Yes, it's not on two bass guitars. Yes, it's not drummed on by fucking Ginger Rodgers with his pubes on two guitars. But as far as I'm concerned, this is the seminal sex track. And aside from Daniel's pick, which I've already backed, I would have said it's the best.
Oh, no.
It's a very obvious choice.
That's
Barry,
my problem with it. It's so obvious that, like, kind of like hot chocolate, when you put it on, somebody's going to go, oh, right, okay, so we're going Barry White. And it's so obvious. The thing is, I don't know if the song's quite good enough to get
it. Definitely isn't.
So you're putting hot chocolate ahead of this track?
Yes.
Yeah, I am. I think it's too long, and it's not as good as Smokey Robinson track. I think Barry White, for me, the song would be his cover of Just the Way You Are. That's the sublime Barry White cut for me. But yeah, this song is good, but it's not quite upper echelon enough to get it over the obvious factor for me. This comes from the same ideology as what Isaac Hayes was doing at the time.
Yes, there were liveners, and then you had a slow dance at the end.
But for instance, Walk On By, which is like a 12-minute long version of that by Isaac Hayes, which is, you could compare these two songs to, that's a better song.
Oh, absolutely. I actually like Walk On By.
It is Barry White, isn't it? Like, is it, who did it, Can't Get Enough of Your Love? It is Barry White, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the better song.
That's an incredible song.
For me, that would be the one I'd pick. I mean, it's a very obvious pick, and Dave's going to have an eternal brain hemorrhage.
Well, you could pick it, and that'd be fine, but you would be wrong, I'm afraid. As opposed to Knickers Are Off before we've even fucking said the first word.
Yeah, but it's Barry White, and he could literally read the telephone book in a Knickers Are Off.
I agree with you that the intro is amazing. Those really low piano chords. That is the moment. But I don't think the rest of the song sustains the rest.
And if you're gonna track another Barry White song, I would say is Ecstasy When You Lay Down Next to Me would be the next sexual track. But because of the intro, I chose the more obvious track.
We'll move on to the final track of the evening, which is my track, and this was not planned. We are going to end with me inevitably talking about Prince, as we always do.
Drink.
The song that I've selected, I had about eight. Just a split-second decision that caused me to go with the one that I've gone for. I've gone for Joy in Repetition from the 1990 Graffiti Bridge soundtrack.
And you should have gone with Hot Thing, and I'm out.
Mic drop.
I would agree that Hot Thing is an incredible song. With this, though, I think maybe in my thinking earlier, and I think my justification for this pick is that talking about songs that may have potential to put somebody else off, I think going with a song like Do Me Baby, which is very overtly sexual, or a song like International Lover, which is very, very cheesy, intentionally funny. Or you could go with something like Shh, which is like a 7-minute jazz drumming extravaganza. I thought I'd go with a song that has what Prince is becoming most iconic for, I think, in public discourse is his guitar playing. And I think that the guitar solos in this song are
amazing
that I couldn't not pick it.
That's the wrong reason to pick a sex song, because you like the solo.
No, it's not. It's the right reason to pick a sex song.
Says the guitarist. Yeah.
You could go with an R&B Prince jam. You could go with something like Scandalous, which has got that R&B drum machine rhythm. But I am someone who, in my 20s, had a sex playlist. And the reactions that you get from some people who aren't into R&B music, it is kind of off-putting. And I think that on a general level, I think that having something with a rock element to it is going to be more widely accepted. And I'm not necessarily saying that's a good thing, but I'm thinking in a fits-all-purpose sex playlist, I think a rockier track like this is more likely to be better perceived.
See, I'm with Dan, because if you're if you're under the age of 60, if I went out in town and met, not that I can with coronavirus, and met somebody and brought them home and put on Barry White, they'd think I was a rapist.
The reason why Dan is right on this is because the sexiest musical instrument known to man is the electric guitar.
I was gonna say,
and there's nothing sexier on earth to a woman than a man playing the electric guitar really fucking well. And it's all about the guitar solo. And I don't mean that because I'm a guitar player and I play really good guitar solos, but because that's the facts. That is the facts. When it comes to Prince, nobody does sexual guitar solos better than Prince did. He was fucking making love to that guitar. And I think out of all the instruments that Prince played, the guitar was the most intimate to him. And having seen him live and seen him live like in his guitar phase, it's like kind of, I totally get Dan's point here. It's like when a guy plays a guitar solo like fucking really nice, like really well, and it's really sensual and it's fucking beautiful, that will melt anybody better than any song will.
This song is different to a lot of his other songs in this oeuvre on the basis that it's quite melancholy, and the lyrics tell of a story of a guy who goes into a club, and there's a woman singing the words "love me" over and over again, and he takes her out into an alley, and they have sex. And
did he bring a stepladder, did he?
It's about the joy and repetition of having one-night stands. The way he's singing it, he's trying to convince himself he's happy, but he's not. So he's having all this sex, and he's getting no real joy from it.
So what you're saying, Dan, it's almost like we're going back to the number one pick was Rest My Chemistry.
We've gone full circle.
My issue with this, because I get all of the stuff you're saying, I get it, but simplicity's sake, does it sound like the sort of thing you'd want to have sex to? No, it's a bit dull. There's not really a drum beat for half of it. There's no real rhythm. It's just him. No drum beat. It's just fucking boring. And every now and again, bug a solo in. It's not like Prince has got thousands of songs I'd rather have sex to than this. I'd have sex with, like, When Doves Cry. That's a better sex song than this. Like, this is too sensual. It's too far the other way. It feels like you're not going to have sex. It's going to hug.
I'll take that.
Alex, Dan, I will say, like, you kind of almost, like, hit the nail on the head for me when I was like,
so I missed a nail on my thumb.
I think Darling Nikki off Purple Rain probably.
I nearly went down Dave's train of thought and I nearly picked Pheromone, which is about masturbating while someone holds a gun to your head, and it's just a techno like funk track, but I decided that my picks, I think the mistake that people make with sex playlists is only thinking about what they want to hear during sex.
What about the other person?
Exactly.
I guarantee you, Whittle, in any room, you're the one who wants to listen to Prince more.
In picking three songs, it's difficult to encompass everybody's tastes in that. I almost, at first, when I first started picking the songs, I almost went down the Let's Get It On and the kind of Barry White song. And then I realised that there's a bigger conversation to be had about what makes things sexy to everybody, textures and sounds. And I think that it was, I wanted to be, to try and be objective, but there was no way I was going to pass up picking a Prince track.
I think personally you picked the wrong Prince song, just because, like, on paper how you said it, fair enough, but as a sex song, it's just not quite there.
There's a playlist that exists online now. The Cacophony Sessions Sex Bangers. You bang them on. You fucking bang them on, and you think, what the fuck am I listening to these fucking geezers? Because half of them are one way, half of them are the other, and there's a couple that land in the middle.
Maybe it's orgy music, think of it that way.
Yeah, but to be fair, man, I would totally put on the Cacophony Session Sex Bangers playlist, and my partner, knowing her, she'd be like, I like this.
I had the option yesterday to put it on and I chose not to.
I think we do this for our listeners, not for ourselves.
Maybe they could just put this episode on. Maybe that's in itself is having the effect.
No, that would be a turn off. Dan, I ain't getting none for a month if I put this on.
We'll just have it, just audiobook it. We'll just talk to them like, now thrust again, harder, harder, with meaning.
I think what's important is, I think with this episode, is we've gone, like, we I think we've moved a little bit away from talking about the songs themselves and more about where they fit in a sex jam. And what we should be doing is concentrating on going, well, what do we think about the music itself? Because that's the whole point of the podcast.
Yeah, but in a sex mix, the last thing you think about during sex is what's on the CD player.
I can't tell you the amount of times I've been like, stop, stop. And they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I've been like, that fucking riff is fucking awesome.
Wow.
It's been an odd subject to talk about because it's so difficult to express yourself on these kind of things in a public forum. Trying to think about things without being overly smutty or just saying things for effect and actually thinking about why we feel in certain ways and what does strike chords with everybody and what can be identified universally. So I think that's how I've looked at it.
We haven't got too smutty with it. We've concentrated on the musical aspect of it, which is, for me, the most important part of this podcast for me, but we stick to the music.
We would appreciate feedback on our sex playlist, so maybe give it a whirl. And
after our sex list, our viewers are going to just think that's like five virgins talking about sex.
Do you know what, though? I reckon our divorce rate will go up after this podcast.
We'll have the opposite effect that Smokey Robinson's song had on society, in that no one will listen to sex jams anymore. There will be no more children born of this world. I think that'd be a nice note to end on.
Yep.
Before we go, though, I want to keep this as a theme segment. What are we going to do next episode, guys?
Punk funk.
Oh, I could do some punk. What, punk funk? I don't know much punk funk.
Ain't nothing but the punk funk. Okay. So until then, you can catch us on our blog. Also on Twitter at CAC Sessions Pod. I'm Goldeny Pump on Twitter as well, if you want to follow me there. We'll be back with more episodes in the future. But until then, it's time to have some babies. Stay sexy.
Bye.
Stay funky.
Love you. Bye.
Oh, yeah, we're white now.
Please keep that in the edit.
I feel tingly.